you have to be very clear on why you're doing this. Because ultimately, as simple as it may seem, it will come with its own sets of hiccups. And unless you truly are crisp on why you're doing this, and then orienting your teams as you build this out, you're going to struggle.
SaaS management is a newer business capability. At Xylo, we get asked all the time, how do you actually do it? How do you actually implement and run SaaS management? Well, today's discussion will help answer that. This will be all about standing up SaaS management, from identifying the need and defining the value it drives within your business to the people, process, and technology needed to be successful. We are so excited today to have on our podcast Senya Kuchnarenko. She is the VP of Enterprise Operations and Technology at Verkada. Senya, welcome to SaaS Me Unfiltered.
Well, Corey, thank you so much for having me. Very excited to be here.
We're very excited to have you. Now, you are a little bit newer in your role at Verkada. Before you arrived there, there was a more limited approach around SaaS management. You came in and immediately wanted to up-level the program to drive better visibility and alignment to your early tech outcomes. So what gaps did you identify when you came into the business that led you to make this quick decision?
Well, to be frank, I think the team was realizing the limitations they had with no tech visibility. And as I joined, there was a little bit of a shuffle and I ended up taking over the procurement organization as well. And so when I looked around, we were buying lots of things. It was not centralized. Everybody could go out and buy whatever they needed or wanted. And it very quickly, you could see that we would have five of this and 10 of that. And so having had experience with Xylo, where we put that in my past interactions and having great outcomes as a result of actually getting the visibility, I recommended that we prioritize that evaluation. The team was doing some initial conversations, and so I think we sped forward. I reached out, and the rest is history.
I love that. And was everybody using spreadsheets in your organization when you arrived there? When you showed up and said, okay, day one, I need data, I need to understand what's going on here, is that what you saw? Kind of spreadsheets disparate all over the org?
So it was interesting because I think the team before did try out a few different providers and none of them really hit the mark. And I think that's something we know we'll talk about, like how do you actually go from idea to implementation and make it be successful? And so they ended up not continuing with the other providers and instead went back to spreadsheets. So when I joined, there was this massive collaboration spreadsheet that was getting dumps from NetSuite, from Zip, from Brex, and then really looking at what's potentially coming up for renewal. So you could imagine there was, you know, a little bit of a garbage in, garbage out problem because it's basically whatever people wanted to put into the zip that was coming in. So we had five Googles and I was like, I know we don't buy five of those. So what are we buying under that Google line item?
Sure. And you took on procurement very early on. The partnership between IT and procurement was something that really is an accelerator to SaaS management. So maybe describe a little bit of that procurement strategy that's aligned with your IT strategy as you've embarked at Verkada.
Well, I think procurement function itself was fairly new at Verkada, where it was specifically identified as a function instead of just someone's side gig. And then when I came in, you know, already owning the IT and the broader technology organization, it just made sense for procurement to come into the fold. I think ultimately you want to align both your budget owners and business decision makers with how you go about evaluating different technology platforms. So what makes sense, especially if you're doing it at a centralized level, rather than like just for one function or for one group.
Senya, you talked about going from a tool to a spreadsheet, and now you're back with Xylo again. What were some of those challenges that you were running into with that spreadsheet? I know you talked about all this data just kind of coming in from everywhere. I imagine renewals were kind of crazy, not really knowing if you had that full visibility.
I mean, where do I start, right? The problem with spreadsheets, as much as we all love them, is that as soon as you put the data in there, it's obsolete. And so there's no real refresh rates that you can have on a spreadsheet. There's no usage data. So what became hard to understand is we bought all these things. Are people using it? Are we oversubscribed, meaning that we are using more seats than we initially procured? Or are we just still very much in implementation on the ninth month of what we should have been done month two. And so I think it was just really hard to get that kind of level of visibility. It was also hard to understand who was the owner or the perceived owner of this technology. And then ultimately, there was this massive mismatch between what does the contract say? What does your zip say? And how much are you actually spending? The last thing you want to do going to a renewal and show up at the table and be like, so tell me, how am I using this product that I think I've purchased from you?
Yeah, it definitely gives that vendor an upper hand in that situation. Bisogna, it's clear you understand the value of managing SaaS and software in a business. How did you define that benefit at Verkada? And maybe talk a little bit about how you evangelize some of the benefits you see in this strategy and approach.
Sure. I'm actually going to take it a step back. When we initially bought Xylo in my past lives, and it was actually an interesting story. You know, I get tons of cold outreach, and most of them are just like paragraphs of, you know, life defining how I should do my whatever decision better. But there was a email that I got that had screenshots of all of the SaaS products with usage, and it said, you know, with like a little bit of risk profile and then annual spend. And I was like, oh, I need that. And so at that point in time, it was not part of my organization, but it was a parallel organization that was also being just stood up as a procurement function. So I reached out to them and said, I need this because I need to manage my overall like tech footprint, and you need this to manage your overall, like our whole renewal and purchasing business. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up running an evaluation. ILO really stood out as an amazing partner. And so we ended up moving forward with them many, many years ago when Xylo was just first starting out. And so when I came into Verkada, I think the big distinction here is because they already tried a tool, they knew they needed something more than just a spreadsheet. And so my job was easier than going from spreadsheet to something much better. It was why Xylo is going to be better than whatever we tried before. And I think that's, again, relying heavily on the experience that I've had and the decisions and outcomes I was able to drive, having the data so easily available, and also making sure that it's real time. I mean, obviously near real time, but like you're not asking for a quarterly data pool of how many users you have on platform A or platform B. You know exactly what it is way ahead of the renewal or of a potential replacement strategy.
Sonia, you've mentioned a couple times in our conversation so far about, you know, the importance of SaaS visibility. And can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, why are you as a leader at Verkada, even in your past life where you've worked with us before, why is that visibility so important?
Well, so there's the plain vanilla answer that everybody always likes to give you, which is cost. And I, in my order, actually cost is a third. I think about it truly more from like, what is the employee experience and how are we stitching these technologies? Because if you think about anytime someone shows up at your front door or your email or wherever they're showing up and says, here's why you need my technology, it's always about you're going to make customers' life better, employees' life better. Something's going to be better as a result of this, right? And then once you're sold on that vision, how do you actually start to stitch these things together? And that's where I think employee engagement experience and actually efficiency comes into play. And so understanding how are the employees experiencing this amazing tech stack that you think is so good and helpful, but is it helpful for them? So that's one. And I think the second one is customer data, risk, and employee data. That world's only going to get tighter and heavier regulated than it is today. And I think just making sure you understand what are all the potential places where it might have snuck into is so important. And that's where, while many will think of this as an overlay to think about just the cost is really just, that was the finale of the conversation, because that employee experience and the risk and the compliance of your data set that you need to track is so much more valuable.
That's fantastic. Visibility into your enterprise portfolio, risk compliance, and then your enterprise architecture kind of view when you begin, it's critical. So I'd love to transition into the way a lot of IT leaders start to talk about the implementation of a SaaS management program. It's not implementing a tool. Money falls out of the sky or security risks are mitigated. It really follows that sometimes it can be a little bit cliche, but it follows the people, process, and technology framework of reviewing what an application will drive and how you need to support that in your business. How do you use that framework when you're thinking about SaaS management and outside of SaaS management to scale Verkada?
You know, I lean heavily on the process portion of this. Technology is an enabler, but if you're buying the latest, greatest technology and not changing your process, or not even thinking about the process, and then expect the technology to be successful, you're going to be in for a surprise. And I think having, you know, done a lot of replacement strategies or gone through the spreadsheet to something more of a tech platform, you have to bring the people along us to on the journey of the why. Like, why are you doing this? What kind of impact are you expecting to have? You have to make sure you understand both on the process change, but also on the technology change. What are the metrics that you will be tracking? And sometimes it's really hard to find those metrics, but how do you know you're being successful? When someone stops you in the hallway or the virtual hallway and says, hey, remember we bought this one thing? How's it going? What are you going to respond with? And I think a lot of the times people get so enamored with technology because shiny object, AI, big data, but ultimately what is the business problem it's going to solve? How is it going to impact the people's lives that are actually using it? Because you know, you have to make sure you understand what that user experience is going to be like. And then ultimately, how is it going to help your organization to scale? Because I think a lot of the times people may have a mindset of like solving for the problem of yesterday rather than the problem of tomorrow.
That's very, very well said. How do you overlay automation and your goals around automation? Sure, we might lean into AI a little bit, but how do you overlay that with your people process technology approach at Verkada?
Okay, so that's my second favorite topic.
Let's go.
Okay, so automation, I think of it in maybe a different way than others in that it really is an opportunity to create an environment where your employees can do a much better job and be more engaged. Notice how we didn't talk about cost savings. We didn't talk about any of those other things because those are all things that will come out of it. But if you think about like what is your day-to-day experience, whether you are an accountant, whether you are a system engineer, you know, we can go through many, many different job functions. So when you finish the day, you wrap up your laptop, whatever it is, and you look back and you're like, I cannot believe I spend my time doing X. That's what you need to be automating. You're spending a lot of time at work. So let's make sure that you're actually using all of your skills and not like the manual data entry or, you know, comparing two spreadsheets, but really pushing our own employee sets to think about a different way of solving those problems. So that's where automation and process change really start to overcome and become overlay that experience and really become the powerful platform. And that's where AI comes in, you know, technology, et cetera, et cetera. But you really need to make sure you're thinking about what is it that you're trying to drive with that automation.
Senya, it's so incredible to have a leader on here who has prioritized SaaS management two times at different companies and different roles. And oh, you just make my heart sing that you've seen the value and you're waving the flag with the rest of us of the importance. I'd love to hear from you because you have the seasoned level of experience with it. What are you thinking about doing differently this time around with your strategy? Like, what have you learned? Is there something like, oh, I will never do that again? Or I would definitely love to double down because this worked really, really well.
I think there's two parts to that, right? And I think you've alluded to it, which is the things I've learned is, you know, making sure you know where you're going to start. You can't boil the ocean. You can't get all of your contracts, everything set up for day one or phase one. Otherwise, you're never going to get to phase two. So making sure you think about what really matters are you trying to get a whole understanding of your top five spenders. Let's be clear, you probably know who they are. Are you trying to understand your long tail? Are you trying to understand how others may be procuring software that are outside of like your company's policies? Think about where do you want to start? What are you trying to get to? Because the faster you can get to the aha moment, and that happens when you load Xylo and it has all your contracts and it has the information for whatever phase one looked like for you. And you go, oh my God, I didn't know I had, I'll fill in that blank for you, 565 apps in my current world. So, I mean, I think the faster you can push people to think about what is that aha moment going to look like for them in the initial implementation. And then I think the second part of things that I would do differently, and this is something, you know, continuously pushing on product development and just general conversation, I think SaaS management starts to become a really interesting place to connect things like legal. I mean, we already talked a little bit about risk and data compliance, but what about things like all of the security risks or the security compliance that the vendors you're purchasing from may be obtaining. You know, the Netskope data, for example, in Zylo is pretty powerful. But expanding on that, starting to really think about, does it play a role in tracking some of your data movements? And then, you know, is there an opportunity for a platform like this to play a role in the data deletion? And that, I mean, it's a harder ask, right? But thinking about when you remove a vendor, how do you know that they've deleted your data? Did you follow up? Is that something that could be part of that overall life cycle? And I think that's both an evolution of the space and technology, but also just, I think, of evolution of like the place in that overall ecosystem that a SaaS management platform can play.
Well, Sonia, you hit on the compliance and the risk. And we were talking to the analysts at Gartner, and they were sharing that there's now 242 regulations across 150 companies that are around the concept of you know, your customer data, your employee data, and SaaS applications. So the fact that you're, you know, you're looking at it, your team's looking at it, you're definitely ahead of the curve. And I think it's something our listeners can learn a lot from today. Well, we want to jump into a few kind of like quick take kind of bonus questions. Sonia, I'd love to know, what's one thing IT leaders need to know about standing up a SaaS management program for their organization?
I think you have to know, be very clear on why you're doing this. Because ultimately, as simple as it may seem, it will come with its own sets of hiccups. And unless you truly are crisp on why you're doing this and then orienting your teams as you build this out, you're going to struggle.
That's fantastic. Begin with the end in mind. Always. Okay, so you have evaluated different SaaS management providers in your time. So what is one word of advice that you would give anybody listening that they should be asking every vendor that they speak with when talking SaaS management?
So it's going to sound a little bit like, of course I should not just fall for the marketing or the sales pitch. But I think you have to really think about, what is the operational processes going to look like for when you put this thing in? And I don't want to sound like a massive fan club of, you know, Zylo here, but for us, like the biggest aha moment and the reason why we went was that you guys are going to ingest all my contracts. I don't need to figure out what the template's going to look like or what I do with them. And that's a really significant advantage. And not just for that first implementation, but for ongoing. So that I know anytime I sign a new deal, whether it's a renewal or a new vendor, it's just going to go through that process. And so I think a lot of the times people get so focused on like the 0 to 1, but that's just the start. You still have 1 to 100 million plus, right? And so I think understanding what that would look like and what would you need from your team to be successful there? Because that's ultimately going to come down to the partner you select, but also how you partner with them.
Well said.
No, I think that's fantastic and some great words of advice. Sonia, thank you so much for joining us today. We've loved having you on SaaS Me Unfiltered, talking about standing up a SaaS management program and not just the importance of people and technology, but as you so eloquently said, the importance of really process and how are you going to operationalize this in your business. And I loved I jotted this down, the tip that you shared with the audience about don't boil the ocean. Focus on, is it the top 10 apps? Is it risk? Is it shadow IT that you need to be focusing on? Adjust that for your business and go after that first. But we just can't thank you enough for sharing your story and sharing words of advice with the audience today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Like I mentioned before, you know, I really enjoy talking about this topic as well as automation. So you know where to find me.
Thanks so much, Sonia.